Well, let's start with prayer. Our God and Father, we are here this morning, Lord, and as so many mornings we come to worship you, and that's an awesome thing. We're glad that we're able and that we're allowed. So many countries where they can't do that, but we're allowed to meet right here in the open and talk about you, and there's nothing anybody will do about it. It's awesome. We thank you so much, Father, that you send your son to die for us, and as we get ready to minister, I just ask that you'd speak through me and let my words be from you and not from me. Lord, and help us stay a little bit warm. It's kind of on the cold side, so I just ask that you maybe block the wind a little bit or something. We'd really appreciate that. So now just minister through me in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read a verse out of John. It's verse 30 in chapter 19. It says, when he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. What do you think he meant by that it is finished? We all know who Jesus was. You know, a lot of people don't believe who he said he was as far as the person. You know, a lot of people don't believe that. But there's no question that Jesus lived. Everybody believes that. That's proven in history. It's not just in the Bible. I mean, that is a proven fact. And we all know that he was tried and convicted of stuff that he didn't do because they wanted him dead. And, you know, they had a trial for him. But, you know, you can convict anybody just like they do. I mean, you don't have to be guilty to be convicted. And he was convicted. And then he was hung on a cross. And if we read Mark chapter 15, verse 22 through 26, they say they brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. They offered him wine mixed with myrrh, and they crucified him. Dividing up his clothes, that they cast lots to see what each would get. It was 9 in the morning when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him was King of the Jews. That's what they put a sign on top of his cross even. Said, King of the Jews. Now, that probably confused a whole lot of people. You know, the people that knew the Old Testament real well, they knew that at some point there was going to be a king that was born to them. And I'm quite sure they thought he was going to come in blazing glory and just take over the country and just make everything better. And that didn't happen. Here's this guy walking around saying, well, I'm the Son of God. And he said, you know, through me you can be saved. But he sure ain't acting like a king. Not the way they expect it. And now it ends up they hang him on a cross and he died. Wow. If you were following that person, you know, how would you handle that? I mean, that could be confusing. I could fully understand that. But he was the King of the Jews. It just wasn't the way they expected. He was the King of the Jews, as in he was their Redeemer. And we'll get into that a little bit later, but I want to read something else. Because now Jesus is dead. You know, they take him down off the cross. They bury him in a tomb. They roll a stone in front of it. End of story, right? Well, luckily, that was not the end of the story. And I want to read out of Mark chapter 16. It says, when the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. Don't be alarmed, he said. You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Now, could you imagine that? You know, the customs back then was, you know, they didn't do embalmings like they do nowadays. You know, they just anointed the bodies with oil and different stuff. And I don't know the whole ritual, but that was their intent, that they were going to just do what they normally do if somebody dies. And they end up at this tomb. The stone, they didn't know how to roll away. It was already gone, already moved aside, and Jesus is gone. Like, wow. We don't know. That's something that we really can't understand, that somebody would be raised from the dead. But with God, all things are possible. If you think about it, if you can create a universe like what we live in, raising somebody from the dead probably shouldn't be near as hard as it would be in our mind. At least we should be able to understand that it can be done. At least I would think so. And, you know, being hung on the cross and dying for our sins, like Jesus said, that's what he did. That's really good. And I'm glad that he did that, because that creates a way out for us. But if he didn't raise after 3 days like he did, we wouldn't have any guarantees that we'd have an afterlife either. But why did he do that? I mean, now, you know, he has risen, and why did he do that? I want to read some more scripture. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. So the Bible says, at just the right time, when God thought it was the right time for Jesus to die, that's when he died for us. But that still doesn't make us understand it, okay? He died for us, we understand that, and we know he died for the ungodly. That's people that don't live the way God wants them to live. So that's pretty understandable, but it still doesn't quite make sense. So I'm going to read a little bit out of Romans, and that'll explain it. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, in other words, while we were still doing wrong, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. So how do I put that in English and without spending 2 hours on it? And I want to just sum it all up. Sin separates us from God. Doing wrong separates us. There's a place in the Bible where it says that God can't look upon evil. I mean, he just can't tolerate it. It just doesn't work. So sin separates us. But because of God's love for us, Jesus died for us. And by doing this, we're back in his good graces. That's what reconnects us with God. And the only thing we got to do to reconnect is say, yes, Lord, we believe that you did that for us, and we need you, and because of that, you know, because of what you did, my sins are forgiven. It's that simple. Jesus paid that price that we can't pay. So when he was hanging on the cross and when he said, it is finished, what did that mean? What it means is the path back to God was restored. That's exactly what that meant. It gave us all a reason to live, because, you know, 80, 90 years, so that may seem like a long time to live, and a lot of people live that long nowadays. Now, some of them even live up into 100. Seems like a long time, but when you compare that against eternity, that's nothing. So the way I look at what we got here is almost like boot camp. I mean, we're getting ready for the real thing. So, I mean, that's how I look at it. And getting ready for the real thing is impossible without Jesus. And with that, I'd like to close. Let's pray. Dear Father God, next weekend is Easter when we celebrate what Jesus did. That he was crucified and then he rose 3 days later. We're also celebrating it today because we can celebrate it any time. It doesn't have to be just on Easter. Father, we thank you so much that you did that for us, that Jesus did that for us, that he was willing to do that. It's just totally amazing. Now, like I said in the scripture earlier, for a good person, someone might die, but for bad people? So we thank you so much, Father, and I just ask right now that anybody that may hear this message that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, that hasn't received him and said, hey, I need you. I need you in my life. Anybody that hasn't done that, Lord, that I ask that you would just touch their heart and draw them to you. Life may not be easier afterwards, but it will be better because then we have a purpose in life. We just thank you so much again for everything you have done and everything you continue to do. And Lord, as everybody gets ready to go riding and racing, I know it's cold today, so I just ask that you'd watch over everybody, keep us from getting too cold, keep everyone safe and enjoy themselves. As always, do it for your glory, and we just appreciate it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all for coming.